more than bananas, how the Christian faith works for me and the whole universe. By Glenn Myers. Episode 6, The Wrestling Ring, Part 1. So far we've worked our way towards a God who exists and who is infinite and eternal in every direction. Then we've seen how the way humans are, and even maybe the way the universe is, its pain and joy, its hopes and disappointments, can be untangled by the powerful idea of fall. These are our two starting points. In one corner of the wrestling ring, God. In the other, broken creation and fallen humanity. What happens next? We can't do much for ourselves. Try it. Some of us, me included, can't even manage to lose a few pounds, never mind start to deal with a proud heart. All the dynamism and creativity has to come from God. Fortunately, there's a lot of this because God can be many contradictory things at the same time. All God's infinite qualities coexist within himself to an infinite degree all at once. Any turbulence that might exist between God and a truculent humanity is as nothing compared with the internal struggles between God and himself. What happens in the wrestling ring is about the conflicts that must exist within God. And out of these tensions, amazingly, comes the perfect solution. God must simultaneously hate and love. He must rage against the evil things humans do to each other, whether it's the vast acts of cruelty or the pathetic conceits. Seeing this perfectly, God must have to sit on his divine hands with all his divine strength in order not to strangle us on the spot. Imagine watching the gas chambers and doing nothing. He cannot feel less than we feel at the rottenness and meanness that goes on under his perfect gaze. He must hate it with all his heart. Perhaps at the same time he must hurt infinitely too, being, we must suppose, infinitely sensitive. He is infinitely good, but is spurned by humanity who prefer the word of a talking snake. Fabulous. He gave us one thing not to do, strike off in proud independence, choose blindness over sight, and we all took the bait and we help ourselves to more of the forbidden fruit. Every day, addicts all. Yet, he must also love us, yearn for us, want us back. Not to do so would be to be less than God. Nothing is too much bother. He must feel like he would wait for eternity if necessary. But he wants us back. God must simultaneously want to exert all his almighty power and at the same time meet us in vulnerability and weakness. A broken creation and a fallen humanity must look like an offence to God and his holy perfections, like a father coming home to find a party still going on and the house trashed. God must long to call a halt, throw everyone out, clean up the vomit, take out and burn the rubbish, repaint and rebuild the house. His universe should be rocking in tune with his own gloriousness, not be a house of misery. It must cry out to him for a total clean-up. Roll up your sleeves, God, he may say to himself. It's time for this to be over. Yet at the same time, if God is really God, wouldn't part of him want to come to the party, stay late, wait till everyone's mellow, join the group sitting on the floor with their backs resting against the wall? Surely he'd decline a joint, but wouldn't he want to wait his turn in the conversation, say his piece? Wouldn't he want to help people home? Wouldn't he endlessly hope that one day a light would come on in the partygoers' lives and they'd realise that happiness is not a multi-pack of supermarket cider? That would be a win. Perhaps even a bigger win than throwing everyone out and cleaning up the property. Footnote. It's possible to see in these two aspects of God, God the enforcer of righteousness and God the identifier with humanity, the dim outline of what the early church, after much wrangling, identified as God the Father
and God the Son. Only one God, but so much of him that you have to resolve him into two faces or two persons to view his depths.
End of footnote.
God must simultaneously want to judge the injustice and take the blame for it himself. Whenever justice isn't done, the universe tilts a little more from the straight. So many wrongs in the world. Some caused by a broken creation, some caused by what we do to ourselves or to each other. All of us have stories of injustice done to us. Many of us would also admit to doing injustice to others. Day after day, this injustice builds, and wrong stacks up in the universe like old pizza boxes, a mountain of justice delayed and denied. It's in God's power to fix this. He can see everything that everyone has ever done, a long list, and he could, if he wished, issue a perfectly fair punishment to each of us for every offence. We could all be paid back for every act of lazy selfishness or active malice in some great final judgment. The universe, reeling under its load of injustice, would be set right. There would be surprises. Some of us who thought we were victims of injustice might find ourselves being punished for our resentment and unforgiveness to our oppressors. Some of us who thought we were pretty good might be uncovered as evil-hearted conceits dressed in an urbane or charming face. Some of us who thought we went through life causing little harm might see how many our smugness has hurt. It might not be humanity's happiest hour, but no one could complain at last. Every secret would be revealed, every wrong perfectly and justly punished. No one got away with anything. A bigger problem, perhaps, would not be punishing what we have done, but dealing with what we have become. Our individual acts of wrong themselves infect and mutate us. Choosing pride, doing bad, we become worse. What do you do with eternal beings, if humans are that, who are stuck in a downward spiral, doing bad stuff and becoming worse, evil habits getting ingrained and spreading into the rest of our beings and on into the universe around us? Eternal beings growing eternally worse. Even here, though, we must assume a perfectly fair and infinitely wise God would know what to do so that justice was rebuilt. At the same time, God must want to take the blame for everything on himself. None of it is his fault, but why not? He is God. Why not pay everyone's debts for them? If all the wrongdoing and wrongbeing of the human species can be aggregated together in the story of a single fallen Adam, why not come as a second Adam? Why not say of the first act the first Adam did, of everything the first Adam became, charge it to me, blame me, punish me, I'll own it. I created all you guys anyway, how can I leave you now when it's in my power to fix it? Take everything that's wrong about the human species, the doing and the being, and blame it on me. Leave nothing out. If I come like a man and suffer like a man, it's fair. Because I'm also God, I'll have the power to endure it. Yet because I'm a man, it'll mean something. God's mighty urge to do justice for all the victims of the earth can be satisfied by God's equal desire to become a human himself and take all retribution on his own head. Somebody pays. He pays for everything. The universe tilts back to the square and straight, and humanity can be free.